Thank you. See, that's why I start this. Sam, who is our AMP coach on duty, just stepped in to make sure we're recording. When that duty is left to me, it sometimes gets left undone. So, thank you, Sam. Look, great conference. And as we did our evaluation with our team today, the predominant view of everybody was, man, these are the most wonderful people in the world. And that's exactly how I feel. I was just excited because you all become very dear to me as we engage in our coaching sessions. And so this was a great opportunity for everyone else to get acquainted with you. So welcome aboard. Chris, good to have you with us as well. I wanted to go to one piece that Todd shared in one of his instructional pieces. He talked about being frustrated, discouraged, feeling like his life had become very routine and mundane, that it was very much, I just go to work, I work hard all day long, I don't allow myself to have fun, and then I go home and I'm exhausted and I still don't allow myself to have fun, and it was hard. So he changed by something that happened to him as he was writing in his high performance journal. One of the tabs that he had set in his high performance journal was a gratitude tab. Now, we haven't done that theory day discussion on gratitude, but the science here is rich in terms of the power that it provides. We alluded to it the day we talked about strengthening a weakened will. You'll remember that we talked about step number one, six steps to strengthen a weakened will. We talked about the first step of strengthening a weakened will being get healthy. And we talked about four elements of get healthy: sleep, eat, move, and gratitude. So using your high performance journal as a gratitude journal is a great idea. But I hope you'll remember what Todd's experience was. In fact, I'm going to have Tracy. Are you on still? Yeah. Tracy, will you unmute? Do you remember that story at all and what Todd was feeling and what happened when he wrote in his gratitude journal? So Tracy, you can, yeah, there you go.
I do remember that story. So before he wrote in his gratitude journal, he, as you said, he just felt so mundane. But once he wrote it down, the things that he was grateful for, he said he felt lighter. He felt like something had been lifted off of him. And as he chose to take those steps to make his life better, how much he enjoyed going home in the evenings and learning those fun things to do with his family.
Awesome. Okay, Tracy. So, as he wrote in his journal, what happened to his attitude even before he set a new goal? What happened to his attitude as he wrote in his journal?
He said he got a better attitude about it. He was finding more things that he was grateful for.
Yeah,
So,
everything about his attitude changed. And that's why he had that feeling of just the burden was lifted and he was lighter and happier and more positive as he described it. Tracy, thank you for your help here. Look, that is a piece that I just didn't want us to miss out on. It's sort of the butterfly effect. Everything, once you have that turn of attitude, when you go from frustrated, overwhelmed, burdened down to light, happy, positive, everything else changes. And when everything else changes, the results change. Look, I wanted to go to two research studies. One of them we've already shared with you as we've talked about just this principle of priming. Because that's exactly what happened to Todd as he was working in his high performance journal. It primed his mind. So, as we think about this research done by Aronson and Steele, Aronson and Steele, so for those of you that remember, bear with me, some of you have not heard this. Aronson and Steele chose 42 of what they deemed to be the more difficult questions in Trivial Pursuit. They selected those questions and then they selected subjects for their study. They randomly assigned subjects into two different groups. In one group, they asked them before they gave them the 42 questions, they asked them to reflect and write on what it would be like to be a university professor. And then they took the 42 difficult trivial pursuit questions. That group, on average, scored 55.6% correct. The other group, they asked before they gave them the 42 difficult trivial pursuit questions, they asked them to reflect and write on what it would be like to be a soccer hooligan or a loud, unruly, sometimes prone to violent and to drinking, soccer fan. Reflect and write about that. That group scored far less correct, 42.6 correct. That's 13 points difference, or 30%. So the point of that study is that with just a little bit of reframing, we are able to outperform our peers of equal ability by 30% or more. I'd like to share with you just one more bit of research along these same lines. Another group of researchers took a group of people, all similar in several ways. They were racially homogeneous. They were social, their social economic status was the same. Their educational backgrounds were similar, and they took them all together. All of the subjects of the study were African American. So once they gathered them, they of course randomly assigned them to one of two groups, and then their task was to take the GRE exam. The GRE is the Graduate Records Exam used as an entrance exam into graduate school. The idea was that they would take the exam and see how well they did. But in group number one, they just had them take the exam. In group number two, before taking out the exam, before taking the exam, they had to fill out a lengthy, a thorough is a better statement, a thorough demographic informational piece about themselves. Included on the demographic information was marking of their racial background. So we know because the only people they recruited into the study were African Americans, but they had them all listed there, Native Americans, Caucasians, etc., all the way down, including African Americans. And of course, each person in the study was required to mark African American. Now, John, what do you think happened? So if we take X, John, you can unmute, X equals par for group one. So this is the average score on the graduate records exam for group one. John Nebaker, how do you think group two performed as compared to group one? Remember, it was group two who were required to mark the demographics before they took the exam. John Nebaker, how do you think group two did compared to group one?
Group two is the one that they have to mark down what, that they're African American, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, that they didn't do as well.
Okay, why would you say that, John?
Because it puts them back into stereotyping them, I guess.
John, you are brilliant and you're exactly right. So, John, you say that as a result of them having to self-declare that they were African Americans, that primed them. And what is it that African Americans believe about their ability to compete academically with people of other races, John?
Well, I believe culturally they believe that they're less effective or less smart, if you
You're
want.
exactly right.
And
All the research tells us that they self-select as believing that they are not as skilled academically as people from other races. Well, okay, so John, you think group two performed worse. to what degree, what percentage of group one's scores do you think group two did?
Probably at least 30 or to 50% less.
John, you are absolutely brilliant. You're exactly right. They scored 50% less, half. So we just talked about being able to reflect and write. Priming our minds can help us to perform in the Aronson and Steele model 30% higher than our peers of equal ability. In this case, 50% less, that is 200%. So if we take this score and say that's the base at 50, and these guys got 100, it's 2x or 200%. Just from reflect and write. Just from I'm reflecting on who I am and what I have to mark here, and they scored 50% of the other team, or the other group scored 200% better than their peers of equal ability. Now, John, what do you make of that? What lessons do you draw from that?
How powerful it is to reflect and write, and That's basically it. It's
John,
powerful to
that, them. Man, you nailed it. That is my message tonight. If we're talking about high achievement, I just cannot tell you how important. Look, just let's go back to our goal theory day. When we were talking about goal theory day, at the end of that coaching session, Cammie, you're still unmuted, so I'm going to come to you. Cammie, I asked you, I recommended to you, I begged with you and pleaded with you that on four horizons you do an evaluation of your goals. What were those four horizons?
I believe it's daily.
Daily. How long daily?
Sorry. Weekly? What did you say?
Yeah, that's
weekly.
Okay, just keep going.
Okay, monthly?
And I choose quarterly, but yeah, monthly right. Or quarterly.
Or yearly.
And annually. Okay, those four horizons, I recommend that we do that evaluation activity. Daily, 5 to 10 minutes, that's all it takes. Weekly, maybe 10 to 20 minutes. 10 to 15. Monthly, quarterly, that might be 30 minutes. Annually, could be as long as a couple of hours. Now, the point of that is this is prime high-performance journal time. This is reflect and write time. If you will do this, if you will just spend the time every day in your high-performance journal. You might do a gratitude journal entry here. You might reflect and write on your day and your goals, and then write 2 or 3 minutes. All of those things are part of that daily 5 to 10 minutes. Writing in your high performance journal could include gratitude journal, goal evaluation, reviewing a coaching session, this session as an example, and then reflecting, and then writing. Just 5 or 10 minutes. Remember that in the Aronson and Steele model, they just reflected for 5 and 10, reflected and wrote for 5 minutes. In the other study that we just referred to, again, these prospects, these subjects of the research, all they did was reflect and write long enough to fill out the demographic survey. And yet the results, 200% difference. Or in the Aronson and Steele model, 30% better. That is the experience that Todd was referring to. When you do this, it will change your attitude. It will change your behavior in subtle ways that you might not even recognize. Do we have prospects on? Does anybody have guests on that are looking for an opportunity meeting? If you're not looking for an opportunity meeting tonight, there's another piece of this that I'd like to share. Is anybody looking for an opportunity meeting tonight? Jump on if you are. Okay, if not, Annie.
I'm not sure that my friend made it on tonight.
Okay,
so
perfect. I'm gonna just go a little bit further with this research. One of the things that we do as a theory day instruction, when we talk about persuasion, let me erase this. It's a subject that we call subatomic persuasion, and microscopic decision making. So subatomic and microscopic. Now, remember, when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about subatomic persuasion. And when I'm talking about microscopic, I'm talking about microscopic decision making. So, Braden Evans, if I'm talking about persuasion in this model and decision making in this model, who is the persuader and who is the decision maker? Did I lose Braden Evans? Okay, then I might go to, I did. Let's see, let me go to Jonna. Jonna, are you there?
I am.
There you go, thank you. Jonna, if we're talking about subatomic persuasion, who is the persuader, would you guess?
Are you talking about us?
I guess. So in this model, we're talking about the way we persuade. What about decision making?
It's who we're speaking to.
That's exactly right. Okay, thank you, Jonna. Perfect. Now, in the model of what Aronson and Steele were doing, or Dichterhaus and his research team, what we're talking about is subatomic persuasion was the reflect and write activity, or the select the demographic information activity. In this case, the researchers were engaged in subatomic persuasion. The subjects of the study were engaged in microscopic decision making. So, for example, in the study about the GRE exam, graduate records exam, they then did post interviews with all those who had scored half of what their peers of equal ability had scored. And they asked them, tell me about your score. And of course, they just said, you know, I'm just not a very smart person. Well, did we do anything to affect your score? No, I'm just not capable. Graduate school is beyond me. I'm just not able. So even after they had explained the research, those who were in the state of marking the demographic information retained the belief that they were simply not as able as their peers, which obviously, statistically and scientifically, was absolutely not true. And yet, even after they understood that there was subatomic persuasion going on, they retained their belief that they were just not as able or as skilled. Now look, I want you to be thinking about this in terms of the power of the high performance journal, whether you're writing as a gratitude journal, whether you're writing as a review of your action commitments from a coaching session, or whether you're writing just a daily activity at the end of your day in your goal orientation and evaluation. That activity is producing subatomic persuasion in your life. And you are making microscopic decisions. Now, by that, I mean to suggest these terms are intended to suggest that this is persuasion that is occurring below the level of perceptibility. If we think about subatomic, look, we all know what an atom looks like. I'm going to use some other colors here. So inside the nucleus of the atom, we've got protons and neutrons. Out on the external, we've got this nucleic cloud where the electrons are the electron cloud. So we've got protons and neutrons, and we've got electrons. The electron cloud is 10,000 times larger than the nucleus of the atom. And yet we can't see the atom with the naked eye. when we look at the atom through high-powered microscopes, we can begin to see the atom and its structure. But even beyond protons, neutrons, and electrons, there are subatomic. So these are the atomic particles. But there are subatomic particles, meaning there are things called quarks, leptons, muons, gluons. All of these are subatomic, so small. Just think about this. The electron a proton is 1,800 times larger than the electron. But these, so small that they can't even be perceived by the microscope. So how do we know they're there? We know they're there because when they shine light through the atom, it leaves a shadow. And by virtue of that shadow and the behavior of these subatomic particles, we now know of their existence. That's how they were first discovered. What I'm suggesting to you is that we persuade ourselves and others at a level so subtle that we don't even recognize it. It's imperceptible in the same way that quarks, leptons, muons, and gluons are imperceptible. In the same way that the decisions made by researchers in the soccer hooligan state or the professor state didn't have a clue that they were being acted upon in a priming way, or that the researcher, the subjects of the study of the graduate records exam had no idea that they were being acted upon, primed, below the conscious level. And in fact, they were making decisions below the perceptible level, and hence microscopic decision making. If we think about the microscope, it was van Leeuwenhoek who first ground those lenses to create the microscope. He first recorded that when he first looked through those lenses, for the first time in human history, he recorded that he could see little beasties or animalcules in his spittle and sperm. That's the first time we had any idea about single cell organisms or bacteria. Until then, doctors were simply bleeding people out to get them healthy. Once we could see what was going on at the microscopic level, then it changed all of medicine, and we were able to create vaccinations against bacteria. That changed everything about mortality. Mortality at the time of van Leeuwenhoek ranged between 15 and 25 years. 15 to 25 years, that was it. Now, people lived longer than that, but it was because of the high infant mortality rate that everything was so low. Now, women in Japan, on average, live 80 years. Even taking into account high mortality in infants, the average lifespan for a woman in Japan is 80 years, approaching that for women in America. But that's decision making below the level of perceptibility. We don't even know we're making those kinds of decisions. Hence the power of what Todd taught us when he said, I was feeling frustrated, I was feeling burdened, I was feeling overwhelmed, I was feeling overworked. That's not my fault. He was feeling all of those discouraging attitudes until he pulled out his high performance journal. He's got a tab there that says gratitude journal where he writes. And every day he writes something like, I am grateful for, fill in the blank, because, fill in the blank. And what was happening with that single activity in his high performance journal was subatomic persuasion. He was changing his own thoughts. He was priming himself for higher levels of performance. Using your high performance journal every day is the butterfly effect. It's when a butterfly moves its wings in Brazil, everything around the world changes. That's the notion. But that's what high performance journal is to us in our lives. It has that effect. It has that power. And that's my plea to you in your coaching session tonight. If you haven't begun taking 5 minutes a day, 5 to 10 minutes per day, to just reflect and write. Reflect and write on your goals. That might take 2 minutes. Reflect and write on the things that you're grateful for in another portion of your high performance journal. Might take 2 minutes. Reflect and write on your action commitments from coaching sessions. Might take, again, 2 minutes. But in less than 10 minutes, you will have changed everything about your life. You will have changed your attitude. You will have primed yourself for success. You just have to understand the research here, because otherwise what's going on happens at so far below the perceptible level that you don't even notice that it's happening. That's why those first studies that we shared from J.R. Stroop on the color test, by Aronson and Steele, by Dichtenstein and his researchers, that's why those are so important, because all of that is how the high performance journal is built, so that you will be able to get the very most out of it. Now, to that end, Tracy at our conference made a very valuable point. And that valuable point is some of the research about journaling, which we haven't even talked about at all, some of that research indicates that the physical activity of writing with your hand, as opposed to typing with your fingers, is valuable. And I will tell you that the research on this is exactly right. So Tracy nailed it at our conference. Nevertheless, I will tell you that even if you're typing this in, all of that other power, all of the subatomic persuasion that you're doing to yourself by virtue of your own priming, is research that you're getting. You're making decisions at a microscopic level, as Todd did. It was through his own analysis and self-awareness, we call that metacognition, that Todd went back and said, wow, what just happened to me? Critical thinking, analytical thinking. And as he considered, he realized why everything had changed for him. He was doing exactly what the system is designed to do, and that is to prime our minds for greater wealth, greater happiness, greater enjoyment out of life, raising our levels of performance beyond that of our peers of equal ability. All right, now, I warned you that I'd go long with this so that we wouldn't do an opportunity meeting, but I'd like you there to take a moment and reflect and write. If you can do so in your high-performance journal, great. If what you're doing, how you're viewing, prevents you from doing that, then get out a paper and pencil and write away. But what is it that stood out to you as you consider the power of the high-performance journal in your life in league with subatomic persuasion? Reflecting, writing, priming our minds, and microscopic decision making, being able to make decisions that we're not even aware that we're making. That's the power of the high performance journal. Reflect and write 3 to 5 things that stood out to you. In the context of those 3 to 5 things, what do you want to have happen in your life? Get a goal orientation here. And then, subsequently, in order to cause that to happen, what 1 to 3 things are you willing to commit to do? Not so microscopic in that decision making, but at the very conscious level, what choices are you willing to make in order to get that result in your life? So take time, reflect, and write. And Tracy, I'm inclined to start with you. After you've had a chance to reflect and write, 3 to 5 things that stood out to you as you think about how we prime ourselves and the power of using the high performance journal 5 to 10 minutes every day, 10 to 20 minutes once a week. On a quarterly basis, 15 to 30 minutes once a year, in our goal planning, goal orientation, maybe a little bit longer. Tracy, after you've had a chance to reflect and write, would you please unmute and share something that stood out to you from our conversation here tonight?
So my thoughts, what stuck out to me was when we take the time to take that 5 to 10 minutes a day, how it goes further than we realize, where it's a micro, and I've known that for years, but it's called actually applying what you know. So that is something that I, in all my studying that I've been doing this last couple of weeks with other elements of my life that I'm trying to change, reiterating the importance of writing those things down instead of just thinking about them.
Tracy nailed it, and I suspected that Chris, by the way, Chris Kimball, you're on deck. Just by virtue of the comments, Tracy, that you made at conference, I suspected that you were in tune with some of that research. And this is just a powerful thing. Now, having said that, Tracy, I am going to encourage you, even if you choose to otherwise write it out, I am going to encourage you to use the High Performance Journal as well. This is going to be able to be a great permanent record for you. And based on your comments, I'm going back to our team and saying, you know what, we've known this research all along. I want a mechanism so that if people choose to write this in, they're able to do so. So Tracy, thank you for your insight and your ideas. Let's see, Chris Kimball, if you can unmute, one thought that came to you that you don't want to forget that was empowering to you, that gave you hope, if you would just share one idea that came to you during this coaching session. Chris, I think you're still on. Chris, are you with us? Maybe we lost her. Okay, if so, Georgia. One thought that came to you.
I am just going back to where you were doing the survey with the Black African American people. I thought, you know, I'm not Black American or African American. I always wonder why we call them anything. Why aren't we just all Americans? But you know, that's, I think I have the same thing as they do. I just go of my family or origin and the low self-esteem that we carried in our family and the failures. And I think that when I get into writing, I pull up all those self-doubts and all those not good enoughs. And it's been really a challenge this week to really get into journaling and writing things that I believe that I deserve this. So it's been really kind of an emotional healing for me. Not over it yet, but it's surprising how that took me back to my family of origin of everybody struggled and has had a lot of failures. And I thought about them. I could relate to how they would feel.
Wow, Georgia, just profound. It's one of the reasons I love to hear your comments here in our coaching sessions. You have such great wisdom, and you articulate it so clearly and so well. You're exactly right. We have all had voices that degrade, erode, criticize us, and it, to some degree, we've internalized those things. And that when we give way to that subatomic persuasion and the accompanying microscopic decision-making that has affected our lives, then it's harmful and it's destructive. And we end up doing to ourselves exactly what the subjects of this study did. I just very wise, and I love it. Thank you, great feedback. Let's see, Jonna.
I'm trying not to get emotional. Without getting too personal, the last 3 weeks have been an extreme struggle for me. And when you were talking about, I'm sorry.
Very sweet.
The journaling and how the subatomic messages, I realized that this is something that I have to do every day to get those voices out of my, to get that stuff, to get those negative beliefs. I don't want to be a negative person. I want to be a positive person. And I just realized I have to do this every day. And it was just like an epiphany for me. Thank you.
Jonna, thank you. There's just no reason for us to lengthen out this portion of the discussion, because what Jonna just shared with us was so poignant and personal and spot on. Look, our Tuesday night coaching sessions are all about elevating our capacity to perform. Our very first coaching session, and for those of you who haven't seen it, it's available in the Academy, the free Academy, it's all there. You could start with the very first one, where we introduced the research done by Dr. J.R. Stroop. And the reason for introducing that research was so that we could understand the power of priming in our lives and make the connection between priming and use of the high performance journal. The way it's organized, the way it's structured, the research behind it is profound. To now have the goals dovetailed in and part of your high performance journal makes it even that more powerful. We had Todd also talk about my goals and either the quick add or the goal wizard, where it starts with just reflect and write. What are you thinking about? What are you feeling? What are you dreaming about? What are you hoping for? That reflect and write that leads to therefore what? What's my goal orientation? What do I want to have happen? In those two places, the self-priming that occurs is fundamental to your growth. The self-priming that occurs is fundamental to allowing you to let negativity drop away and to be replaced by subatomic persuasion that you're powerful, you're influential, you can make a difference in your own life. And you will make decisions at a microscopic level, even below the perceptible level, that will elevate you. Well, that principle is so important that I couldn't let Todd's comment go undiscussed. The power of what we do in sixth dimension relies on those principles. So my plea with you tonight is to begin to use the high performance journal in your life. Now, John, you unmuted. It looked like you had a comment.
I have a question.
Tammy.
Okay. Does it matter? Has any research shown if you do this in the morning versus later in the day? Because if you're setting the persuasion for the day, it would seem like it would be more powerful if you did it in the morning.
Cammy, the research is inconclusive. There doesn't appear to be statistically significant differences. Now, why, I don't know, but I can begin to make some, I can surmise. For example, as you describe, when done in the morning, we're priming for that day. When done at night, we're programming the subconscious to rest on this and plan and organize for for a full and rich day. That programming occurs throughout the night. As we detox and de-stress, we're replacing. So it doesn't appear that there is a statistically significant difference, one case or the other. So the most important thing is to engage the activity. It's a brilliant question. Does that help?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it would be great to do it both times.
Look, and I'm telling you, I think it would too. I'm pleading with you. I'm just pleading with you. At the very minimum, do that goal evaluation, reflect and write, gratitude journal, a minimum of 5 minutes every day, whenever. That's my plea tonight. Annie, looked like you had an observation or a comment.
Yeah, well, Cammie nailed it at the very end, because that's what I was going to say. I've noticed that the days that I do it in the morning and the night, that it's increases that. I don't know how to explain it specifically. It's in my head, but it increases the production,
Annie, it does. You are exactly right. Look, frequency matters. It's like when we talked about our goals, what's the type of activity? How frequently are we going to do this activity? With what intensity and with what duration? All of that matters. And my plea with you is, don't get overwhelmed by trying to run a marathon if you're not walking for 10 minutes. So, you know, every day, 5 minutes, get in that habit, and that will make all the difference. Excellent. Okay, let's see. Anybody else have a thought, question or a thought you'd like to share?
I don't know if this is pertinent, but I remember when Mike was telling me about a study that they took some college kids, divided the class in half, gave one half of the class in the morning this math problem to work on that was really difficult. They worked on it all day long and worked, and before they came up with an answer, the second half of the class, they gave it to them just prior to going to bed. And they went to bed, didn't have time to work on it, just looked at it and thought about it for a minute, went to bed, and in the morning they had the answer. So both are good. You start the day and you've got all day to think about it and set the pace. But if you choose to do it at night, then you've gone to bed and whenever your brain is faced with a question, it will not rest until it finds an answer. It will continue to work through the night. So I think they're both good for different reasons.
Debbie, brilliant and well articulated. You are exactly right. At least that's what I surmise is going on in the research here. I choose, just for me, and I would say it's about equally split between among hardcore high-performance journal users, morning and evening. I choose evening because it also gives me that opportunity to reflect and write on the day, make that evaluation, and make the determination of what adaptations do I need to make so that I can then program my mind to say, okay, I've made these adjustments. I'm ready for a full and rich and rewarding day tomorrow. Now I'm going to do my gratitude journal, and having also done the journal from the coaching session pieces. So I choose evening, Debbie, for that very reason. I feel like I awake refreshed and prepared and energetic to take on my day. Others feel like, man, I just need that high performance journal jolt first thing in the morning. So,
great
observation.
Also, Scott, I'm thinking that sometimes when people talk about, like if they're reading their scriptures, well, you got to do it in the morning for this or that reason. And then when people choose not to, again, we're talking about priming the mind. How does that prime the mind when you feel like, dang it, I missed the morning, therefore I'm not going to be as good? That's priming the mind right there. So it's good to know that whatever suits the individual, they can do that, and they can have all the benefits without feeling like they did it in the wrong time, priming the mind negatively.
Debbie, absolutely brilliant. Wonderful comment. Thank you. Let's see. Savannah, I'm going to go to you as a final thought, and then I will stay as long as anybody wants to stay to ask questions. Are you with? There
okay.
you go. Yes.
Okay. Final thoughts about journaling every day for 5 minutes. Is that what you're looking for?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I feel like my journaling, like I do it off and on. I need to do it more. That's what I'm starting to do. But I feel like when you journal every day, you get to like release the things inside you that you wouldn't say to other people, like something that's been bothering you or something that you just need to let out. And then like when you write down your goals in your journal every day, you look at them every single day. So it's not like I'm just going to write this down and then I'm going to close it and never look at them again. So doing it every single day, you remind yourself why you're doing something, what you're doing it for, and like what your end result is and what you want to achieve through all of it.
Savannah, well articulated. Look, everyone, there is power in your high performance journal. I plead with you to make that just 5 minutes a day minimum commitment in your life. And if you will, all kinds of things will change for you. You might not be able to directly correlate it with your activity in the high performance journal, but I can tell you, amazing things will happen for you and to you when you begin to engage the power of subatomic persuasion available to you in your high performance journal. Great to be with you again, as always. Thank you very much for your attention. I'm looking forward to being with you, Savannah and gang, in Heber on April 12th. And before that, with Red and his group, if you can pull it together. I'll stay as long as anybody wants to answer questions. Great to be with you. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I love this. This kind of feels like the Waltons.
Thank you.
It's kind of fun. Let's make this a tradition.
Okay.
Good night, Scott.
Good night.
Hey, Scott. Scott, I have a question. When you do your high performance journal, you see it there and you're typing in, let's say you're doing your gratitude journal. And of course, down below, it always talks about the goals and the steps. Do you do that for, you don't need to do that for your gratitude journal, do you?
Do all of that in one place. You don't need to do that for every activity in every journal.
So you recommend that when I just do my, I do that when I do my coaching. After
that's
the coaching
session.
That's
the place I would do it, John. Brilliant.
Now, do you do that, when I do it for one session, like tonight, when I do my journal there, do you do the evaluation at that moment of each one of those, or do you wait a week and do the evaluation?
Great question. Okay, I can see that I need to come back with some more instruction about high performance journal. The first night when you write it, you don't do that. The next day, however, as you reflect on what you wrote, what you wanted to have happen, and your action items, along with your other goals. That's the play. And maybe even you'd separate those two and do those. What am I celebrating based on my action items? What helpful observation do I have based on those action items? And then scoring myself on will and motivation all the way through to decision making. You'll do that every subsequent day with regard to that coaching session for a week.
Great.
Okay, one more comment that has nothing to do with that, but Chris has been on. She is having trouble with her mic. She thinks it might be with the Skype download, and I'm wondering if maybe somebody tomorrow could help her.
Absolutely. Could she hear us?
Yes. She can hear us, but
okay. She just couldn't respond when I asked her to.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that follow-up. Yes, we'll make that note and have somebody call Chris.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. And if she's got an iPhone, she may want to try that for the speaking and hearing part.
Yeah, Annie does a double dip, don't you, Annie?
Yeah, I do. It's the only way. That way I can see you and I can listen and talk, too. But I did want to share something with you. And I wanted to touch on this before, but I don't like to, I feel like sometimes I get a little too long-winded because I'm still learning to process and communicate what's in my head.
Yeah, I don't feel that.
But good. I recently learned, or, you know, had the word metacognition brought to my awareness. And I found that really interesting because it's thinking about thinking.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't think I ever thought about that word before, but after being catatonic and having had that awareness, you know, well over a week into that scenario of something triggered a thought in my head. And my first thought literally was, I haven't been thinking. I've had no thought. I know, and as you share these things, Dr. Baird, I am so touched because I'm still in a healing process. I've come further than most of the doctors or anyone thought I would. And I see such a difference because before, when I would set goals, I'd be hard on myself. Because, you know, you set a goal and you don't achieve it and then you give up because of the guilt and then the shame. But now, because I have that reflection, you've taught us, you've simplified that process for us so that we can reflect and it's okay. It's okay to make the change and to adjust it to so it fits us. And with that, I've noticed I feel like I have continual growth.
Look, Annie, you are just growing in ways that are incredible. And I love just having a front row seat to this development and growth in your life. And as you persist with the use of the High Performance Journal along those five horizons or four horizons, 5 to 10 minutes every day, 10, 15 minutes once a week, so that you're getting both the goal, evaluation, adjust, and prepare activity. Man, this will just change everything about your life. It just really, really will. Nicely done. Thank you. Other questions, comments? I'll stay as long as anyone has things they'd like to share or ask.